You did grab your Bible, Psalm 119, real quick tonight, and we will get right after it. I hope you've been enjoying this study, and I know we just barely, maybe not even scratching the surface, just kind of bumping up against it. And this evening, I want to kind of continue some overview thoughts, and I won't finish this. I just made up my mind praying up here while y'all singing a moment ago. I'm not even going to try to give you everything this evening. I will get to it on next Wednesday. And we'll just barely get to the third point. Got three things I want to give you. And it'll take me a while to get that third one out. So I'll introduce it tonight. Whet your appetite. You'll be so excited. You'll invite 15 other people to be back in here with you next Wednesday night. And we'll have a good time again. Let's look here in Psalm 119. Already thus far, if you remember, we have covered in our first just understanding Psalm 119, biggest chapter, biggest portion of Scripture in the Word of God, 176 verses. And that the theme of Psalm 119 in these 176 verses, nearly every verse references in some manner or way God's holy word. And we call that the Bible. Sometimes we call it the scripture, the holy scriptures. But we call it the Bible. That's how we talk in the South. And the Bible is just a Latin word that means the book. The book. And so we believe tonight in this portion of the Word of God, we have before us a magnifying of the book of all books, the Word of God, the Holy Scripture. And so in our first study, we looked at names for the Scripture contained in Psalm 119. And we talked about thy word or thy words, thy law, thy testimonies, thy precepts, thy statutes, thy commandments, thy judgments, thy way. And then number nine was just simply David references the Bible as truth. And so we learned and gleaned from those names, each dealing with a different aspect of the Word of God's relationship to our life. I'm thankful that we have a Bible tonight. And whatever you want to call it by its biblical names is given in Psalm 119. What we learned from that study is that the Word of God is absolutely vital to our lives. It's vital for our salvation. It's vital for our Christian journey. It's vital for our own righteousness. And that is all magnified in Psalm 119. On last week, if you remember, we dealt with the subject of the wonder of the Word. And it is hard in 176 verses to narrow down Psalm 119, a theme that would be contained in just one verse. But we did that in verse number 129, where David said, thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. And we talked about the wonder of the Word. The wonder of the Word, we dealt with some of the descriptive words or phrases or ways that David describes the Bible is being righteous, right in righteousness. It's good. It's upright. He said it's very pure. It's truth. It's faithful. And in our verse last week, verse 129, I believe, for me anyway, and I wouldn't fall out if you picked any of the other 175. They're all good to be a theme for God's Word. But that it's wonderful. It is wonderful. The Word of God is wonderful. It is a miracle. It is something extraordinary, something miraculous, and something marvelous. And David's statement of thy testimonies are wonderful reminds you and I that God's Word is a supernatural book. It's not a human book. It has not earthly origins. It is from heaven. It is supernatural. It is God's Word. And so we looked at the wonder of its confirmation, that is, how that God spoke it and gave it through holy men of old. We looked at the wonder of its conservation and how that God has settled it, that it's everlasting and that it endureth. And we're thankful tonight that God has preserved His Word unto all generations. and then the wonder of its confirmation, how that if we'll look to it, live by it, and fall in love with it, it will be the source of blessing upon our life. And we get to live out the wonder of its confirmation is that God gave it to us. The wonder of its conservation is God has preserved it down to our day. But we get to live the wonder of the Word every day as God's children, that we choose to look to it, learn it, live by it, and love it. We then enter in the wonder of its blessing every day of our life. And what a blessing that is. Now tonight, I don't really have a heading. Maybe you could say it this way, an overview or Pastor Jeff's summary of Psalm 119. I don't even know if summary is it. Maybe Sister Lori, the best way to put it is Pastor Jeff's scattered thoughts of Psalm 119, okay? But I want to show you several things that stand out to me that is very, very amazing in my mind in considering Psalm 119. First of all, let me deal with the author of Psalm 119. The author of Psalm 119. When you come to Psalm 119, one of the things that has stood out to me is all the personal pronouns that are mentioned as you read Psalm 119. In fact, now I didn't count these. I'm trusting W.A. Criswell. He gave the number. I noted that these were in there last night. I was up late and I was trying to circle them. I didn't get them all circled, but Criswell said there are 325 self-references in Psalm 119. And so the author is describing, as he's dealing with God's Word, he is talking about God's Word in his own personal life. He uses the word I 142 times. He uses the word me 91 times, my 62 times. He uses the word mine 14 times. Myself is used 3 times. And I love this reference of the author to himself 13 times, Brother Tim. He simply calls himself thy servant. And speaking to God, I am thy servant. And somebody said, all the I's and me's and my's and mine's and myself seem like he's hung up on himself. But when you give consideration the fact that throughout the psalm he said, I'm just the servant of the Lord. This is not about him. It's about him being able to magnify the Word of God and his relationship to the Word of God in his life. And so there's skepticism when we get down to who actually received this from God. Who did God allow to describe such a relationship that he had with the Word of God? And there's skepticism about exactly who wrote it. Some would say Hezekiah wrote it, and that would have been a good man to have written Psalm 119. I don't believe he's the author of it, but maybe he was. He'd have been a good. And some have said Ezra, the priest of the Lord, and the return back to Jerusalem from Babylonian captivity, that Ezra is the one that wrote Psalm 119. That really does intrigue me. What I know and have studied about Ezra, we know this: Ezra was a man of the book. He was a man of God's Word. He didn't gom around. And when he built the house of the Lord, and they get that place where, Brother Mike, the people said, we want to know what God has said. Ezra knew where the Word of God was, brought it out. He read it all day and had such a relationship with the Word of God that just reading it all day long, revival broke out through that man of God and his ministry of the Word of God. You don't get that. You won't have revival from a man who is not in love with the Word of God. And some have said Ezra. My personal opinion, and some would disagree with this, some obviously would agree with it, and it seems likely to me it wasn't Hezekiah and it wasn't Ezra. In my humble opinion, I believe it seems to be David. And I'm in pretty good company. C.H. Spurgeon said, Amen. All these people want to deny that David wrote this. He basically said, and I'm not getting him word for word. He said they're unlearned and don't know doctrine very well. That's what Spurgeon said. Amen. And so, amen, I have arrived at the same position as Spurgeon, lest I be unlearned. All right? And so think about it tonight. When we think about David, we know that David, one of the main things that stand out when I hear David's name is that David was a man after God's own heart. That's one of the things we've had drilled into our head about the life of David. And we know about his failures. We know about his victories. We know about the good and the bad and the ugly, his defeats. We know about his exiles. We know about the people that hated David, the people that loved David. But above all of it, God said when Samuel went down to anoint the youngest of Jesse's sons, God said, there is a man among his sons. Now, he's just a little fella, but God said, there is a man among his sons. It is a man after mine own heart. And so we think about that this evening. David was a man after God's own heart. And what we learn is that in 176 verses, this man after God's own heart is describing his vibrant relationship to God's Word. 325 times he's telling you about what God's Word does for him, what God's Word is to him, how he can't live without God's Word, the necessity of God's Word in his life, and is describing this relationship that he has with the Word of God. Now let me say this tonight. It's only going to be those who are after God's own heart that are going to be able to have this kind of relationship to God's Word. Amen. You won't get this watching TV all the time. You won't get this watching the things the world calls us to watch and all the entertainment that is out there. And I'm not against the entertainment. I'm not against the hobbies I have on my, do my own things. But this evening, understand there ought to be an overriding theme of our life that if we will be after God's own heart, everyone who is after God's own heart knows the necessity of God's Word in their life. They love God's Word in their life. They want God's Word in their life. They can't live without God's Word in their life. And David is describing that. And when he begins, and I understand, Brother Mike, he's under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it's almost like the Holy Ghost said, David, just write away. Just write down about your relationship to the Word of God. And he could not contain it in 10 verses. He could not contain it in 50 verses. It took 176 verses for him to tell you what God's Word meant to him in his life. I printed it out, and when I printed it out, I'm talking about the narrowest margins you can fit on the page. On the sides, the top, and the bottom, it is 3 type pages long. In my envelope back in the back of Psalm 119 that I'm using to study through, and it's 3 pages long. I thought about this. What if God said, write down and tell everybody about your relationship to the Word of God. Would you be able to write much at all? Would you have anything at all to say? Does the Word of God mean anything to you? Is it worth anything to you? Has it done anything in your heart, in your life, that you could communicate to other people about the Word of God, how it's helped you, how it's sustained you, how it's fed you, how it's kept you safe, how it's brought deliverance in your life, how it's quickened you? And for 176 verses, 3 small, I'm talking about 10 font, amen, less than half inch parameters on the outside of the page. Three full pages, Brother Riley, that David is saying, let me tell you about my relationship with the Word of God. Amen. I hope that I'd be able to have something to say. Amen. But only those, again, only those after God's own heart are going to be able to really, truly understand and appreciate Psalm 119. And amen. And our relationship with the Word of God. And so let me break some things down. I was up late last night, just reading through Psalm 119 about what David is saying about David's relationship to the Word of God. Let me show you some things I noted, several things, a little bit of a long list for subpoints, but we talk about the author of Psalm 119. Notice with me, we'll start here and I'll get to something at the end and it'll bring us back and I'll have to make a point. And if you don't think I made the point, Brother Riley, I need you to remind me because I didn't write it down, okay? But watch this. Notice with me, number one, sad to say, one of the things that stands out to me in Psalm 119, as David is describing his relationship with the Word of God, you'll find that David deals with his departure from the Word of God. Look with me in verse number 67. Verse number 67, before I was afflicted, what's the next three words say? I went astray. I went astray. And notice he said, but now have I kept thy word. And so David is describing something, a season of his life where he has departed from the Word of God. Notice how the psalm ends. It's very interesting. Psalm 119, 176. He said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. And so David makes a self-confession that is hard for us Baptists to make. And that is, David said, there have been seasons in my life when I look back that I can honestly and ashamedly testify that I have gone astray. I ain't always done things the way that I should. I've gone some paths I shouldn't have gone down. I've wandered away from the shepherd. I've wandered away from his leading book and from the voice of the shepherd as he speaks through his word. And David is describing in Psalm 119 his departure from the Word of God. But notice with me, and I'll come back to that in a moment when I get the end of this. Amen, you'll think, man, preacher's lost his mind, but I want to show you something, all right? Notice with me David's desire for the word that is expressed in Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 20. Have your book ready. I'm just going to read these. I won't make much comment. But the Bible said, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. David said, I'm under a soul-crushing desire to be able to be tapped into the Word of God. In verse number 40, he said, behold, I have longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness. Verse 45, and I will walk in liberty, for I seek, notice that word, I seek thy precepts. He's describing his desire for the Word of God. In verse number 131, are y'all with me? Say amen. Verse number 131, I opened my mouth and panted. I panted. That is a word David would use that in other psalms, that as the heart panteth after the water brook, so my soul longeth after thee, O my God. And so panted is a longing. It is a desire that is developed by way of need. Amen. The deer needs water to survive. And so when it gets dry, it desires water and it pants for it. And so notice, I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. Amen. Again, this matter of desire. One more verse, verse 173. Let thine hand help me. I love this, for I have chosen
thy precepts. And so we have words like panic and seek and longed and longing. And now, and toward the end of the psalm, we see this matter of desire really come to fruition, that David is not just making a religious talk about things. He's not just talking to seem spiritual or to seem religious about, yeah, kind of like the Word of God. David's desire, amen, in the end of it all is expressed, Brother Larry, by him saying, I have chosen your word. Amen. You ain't going to choose nothing if you don't have a real desire. And David is saying, I'm not just talking about it. I'm not just bloviating about how religious I want everybody to think that I seem to be. But I have made a choice in my life, amen, that I am going to go with God's precepts. This is David's desire for the word. I love this one, and that's kind of ironic I said it that way, but notice David's delight in the word of the Lord. He'll describe this throughout the psalm. Consider verse number 16. Verse number 16, I will delight myself in thy precepts. I will not forget thy word. In verse number 35, make me to go on the path of thy commandment, for therein do I delight. Again, in verse number 70, if you look there, their heart is as fat as grease. I can't wait to deal with that one. Amen. Amen. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. David is saying, when it comes to my relationship with the Word of God, I know, and he'll deal with this, we may look at it in a moment, but he knows that God loves him and is David enough to send the Word to David. But now David is saying, I delight in the Word of God. That's where my joy comes from. That's what I really am longing for. That's really what I love in my life. In fact, the word love is used all through Psalm 119 in regard to David's delight in the Word. Look with me in verse number 48. Verse number 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. David is saying, I love your word. Verse number 97. Verse number 97. Oh, how love I thy law. Do y'all see the exclamation point? Amen. David is saying, I don't just love it casually. I just don't love it in word. And I love it, and I get excited about being able to meditate upon it all the day long. In verse number 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. It's amazing when you look at this, when you look at this verse, amen, I just had this thought again here as we think about this. David is using hate and love in the same verse. Amen. But he's saying, I really, really love the Word of God. I love the law of the Lord, but I hate vain thoughts. Amen. And by the way, if you love God's Word, you'll hate the things you're supposed to hate. Amen. And you'll see that through the psalm. Look with me in verse number, we're talking about love now, verse number 127. Here you have, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. And so David said, I have a love for it that is greater than the wealth of the world, the treasures that at the world would deem to be precious and esteemed as valuable. I love the word of God above all the wealth of the world. Amen. Amen. What a love David has for the word of God. Verse number 159. Consider, he's talking to the Lord, consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. And so he calls on the Lord to consider, evaluate, to determine, and to place a degree upon the love that he has for the Lord's word. I wonder if we prayed to God to that tonight. Amen. If the Lord would cut through all our religious talk amen, and all our appearances of seeming to be spiritual, amen, can I tell you tonight, amen, it ain't about you and I trying to convince each other how much we love the Word of God. God knows how much we love the Word of God. Amen. Amen. You may fool the preacher. Amen. The preacher may fool you. But God is the one that brings all of that into consideration. David is saying, I love the Word of God. Verse 165. This ain't too much Bible for us tonight, is it? Amen. Watch it now. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. David said, I love the law of God. Amen. And here's one of the identifying markers of somebody who loves the Word of God. There is a peace, and not a little peace, but a great peace, and abides in their heart, and you cannot easily offend somebody who loves the Bible. Amen. People who love the Word of God don't wear their feelings like a chip on their shoulder. Amen. And I don't need to get bogged down on that. Amen. Amen. We need Baptists to fall in love with the Word of God. Verse 167, my soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love this. Now watch it. And I love them exceedingly. David is writing, the Spirit of the Lord just, Brother Mike, he just cuts him loose and says, David, write about it. Write about what this book means to you. And David said, if I get to be the author of this, if I get to be the one to express this, then I want everybody to know I not only love the Word of God, and I don't just value it to be more than gold. And I not only lay my love for this book down for God to consider, I evaluate personally my own love for the Word of God. And David said, it is a love that is exceedingly for what God has said. And may God send a revival to our church of people, amen, that don't just love it a little, amen, that my friend love it to a large and a great degree, that value it and esteem it and love it with all of our heart. David's delight in the Word. Stay with me now. I'm still in the first point. David talks about, as the author of this psalm, not only his departure, desire, and delight. Notice with me David's dependence on the Word. There's several words, a couple words anyway. In fact, two words. It is the word hoped and the word believed. And notice this with me. The word hoped is found first in verse number 42. I believe it is. He said, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. Here's the word trust. For I trust in thy word. David said, I am depending on the Word of God. It ain't about me. He's talking about giving an answer. We may deal with that in a moment. About giving an answer. Then there he is. He's been called on the carpet to answer some question. David said, it won't be my opinion. It won't be the way that I feel about things. It won't be about what the experts say. He said, I am depending that God's Word will have the answer, that I can give an answer to every man. Amen. Do you depend on the Word of God to give answers to people? Amen. I know people sitting in church, amen, that are counseling people, amen, and they never give them the Word of God. And that is the evidence of somebody not depending on the Word of God. Don't matter what you think. It don't matter what I think. Amen. We better find our trust in the Word of God. Amen. I get people here sometimes, and on the road out preaching, they'll come and they say, I'm struggling with this or that. Can you give me counsel? And you start listening, and they've got all these voices coming at them from different places. And what's amazing is how many times they never say, well, my mamaw or my papaw or my mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister, my buddy said God's Word says this. Amen. And to me, that's sad. Amen. We're supposed to be children of God. But Larry, this book has every answer you need to give when it comes to handing out counsel to people. David said, I trust in thy word. Amen. I'm depending on it when I am to give an answer. Amen. That one's free. Amen. Verse number 74. Verse number 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Are people glad when they see you? I can't wait to get to that verse. Amen. I ain't dealing with that part, but it is tapped into this. Because I have hoped in thy word. David said that I am so dependent on the word of God. And others that fear God, others that have a relationship with God, they are glad when they see me coming. Because why? I think the implication of the verse, Brother Mark, is simply this. David said, they know I've been in the book, and they've been in the book, and when we get together, we're going to be able to talk about the book, because they're depending on it, I'm depending on it, that's all we got, and bring us together. Amen. David's dependence on the word. Notice with me in verse number 66. Look back to that one. Here's a good verse. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Do y'all see David's dependence on the word? He said, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it. And later on in the psalm, David is going to make a statement that he esteems God's word in all things to be right. Can I say David didn't just believe the parts that he liked? David believed it all. David believed every bit of it. Amen. He wasn't chewing the meat and spitting out the bones. Amen. He believed all of it. I remember Brother Wells preaching in our first church years ago about that Passover lamb, and part of the commandment God gave, amen, was eat ye all of it. Eat it all. Amen. You got to eat the head. Amen. And the shoulders and the rump. Amen. But God said all that other stuff that people go, ooh. Amen. God said eat it all. And I'm telling you, there's a crowd in our day. Amen. They only believe what they like. They only believe what they agree with. There's things in this book I believe, not because I like it, not because it's the way I want it, but it's because what God said. Amen. And you can argue with me until you're blue in the face. I'll do the same. And we'll both pass out. But when we both pass out and hit the floor, God's word will still be right. Amen. That's right. He's talking about his dependence. I believe it. And you're not going to depend on it if you don't believe it. Amen. Amen. That's good preaching tonight. I thought we was teaching, but I've done messed up. 147. Look in 147. I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. David is talking about, amen, evidently he's in a nighttime and he's looking for the sun to rise again. You know what got him through the nighttime? You know what my friend Brother Jerry got him when he said in this verse that he was crying, there were tears coming off his cheek, waiting for the sun to come up, waiting for the day to dawn. Again, David said, I made it through the night. I made it till the sun come up again. I was hoping in the word of God. I was counting on the word of God. I was depending on the word of God. I was leaned up on the word of God. And it's the word of God that brought me through the night air. Amen. I'm glad tonight for all the nights, all them night seasons. Amen. Maybe my heart was busting. And those times when you're worried and you're fretting and you're praying and you're just begging for the sun to come up. Amen. I'm telling you, I have made it through every night season. Amen. I've been leaned up on the word of God. Amen. If you made it through any too, you didn't make it because you're strong. Amen. You didn't make it because you're super duper. You didn't make it because you're the cream de la cream of the crop. Amen. Among the church, you made it. Amen. Clinging to this book and clinging to every promise that God ever made and every hope we have. Amen. It is absolutely anchored in the word of God. David writing about his vibrant relationship of the Word of God. He describes his dependence on the Word. Notice David's declaration of the Word. Amen. And I've kind of already hit on this, so let me just read you the verses here. Verse number 13. He said, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." Do y'all see what David just said? He said, I love the book. I desire the book. Amen. I'm depending on the book. I just want to talk about the book. Amen. I just want to talk about it. I just want to declare it. Verse number 42 again. "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." David said, "I'm glad to sit down, amen, and give some answers for what I believe, amen, out of the word of God." Verse 46, "I was speaking thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed." When's the last time you talked to anybody about the Word of God? Amen. Amen. You'd think around the house of the Lord we could talk about the book. David didn't say, Brother Tim, amen, David didn't say, "I'm going to talk about it down at the house of God. That's as good a place as any to do it." David said, "I'll stand in the presence of kings. I'll stand in the presence of royalty. And I will declare to them what God said, and I will not be ashamed to do so." Amen. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you went outside them doors and talked with somebody out there about what God said? You ain't ashamed, are you? "Oh, no, I'm not ashamed." Then why don't you ever talk about it? Amen. Why don't you ever pass out a tract? Amen. Oh, you say, "Oh, I'd love to meet Donald Trump. I'd love to meet him too. Amen. I wish I had about 5 to 7 minutes with him. I wouldn't talk to him about policies. I wouldn't talk to him. I'd say, man, amen, let me tell you about what the Word of God has to say." And I'd want to give him the gospel in about 7 minutes. I'd want to remind him that when the righteous are in rule, that the people can rejoice and the blessings of God will be on the nation. Amen. I'd love to tell him some things. Amen. Not just about where we agree politically and on policy or where we even disagree. Amen. David said, "If I can stand in the midst of politicians, I just want to tell them what God said." Amen. Who have you talked to about it lately? David's declaration of the word. How we doing? Verse 172, he said, "My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness." And so we see David's declaration of the word. Notice with me David's direction by the word. David's direction by the word. What are we talking about now? Amen. Brother Riley, I ain't forgot where we're at. The author of Psalm 119. Amen. I'm telling you, he's talking about myself. And David is reminding us of what a person that is after God's own heart. Amen. What our relationship with the Word ought to look like. Notice David describes his direction by the word. Verse number 5. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Verse 32. The Bible said, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Which direction are you running tonight? Which direction are you running? David said, "I am running in the way of the commandments of the Lord. I'm running in what God told me to run in. I'm running the way God told me to run." Here's the problem with our generation. Nobody wants any commandments anymore. That book's full of commandments. It's full of thou shalt and thou shalt nots, by the way, Old Testament and New Testament. Amen, Pastor, preach on right there. David said, when it comes to the direction of my life, I have a desire, he said in verse number 5, a desire to be walking in the direction that God's word is pointing. I desire to run. I will run the way of thy commandments. Verse number 105, David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 133, he said, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Amen. If we'll get our direction from the word of God, amen. Listen, the word of God, when it is guiding your life, will never lead you into sin. Amen. Verse number 168, David made this statement, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. David said, when I consider that God is beholding, amen, his eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good, and God is watching my life. And now listen, God ain't going to judge you. God is not. God is not going to hold you accountable for what Dr. Bottlestopper, but Joe said, amen, Dr. Bottlestopper in the Peckerwoods of our day, amen, that's what Brother Joe said on Sunday. I didn't know you could say stuff like that, amen, but that's what he said. Amen, and I'm getting old enough, I guess I can get by with some of that too. Amen, it don't matter. God ain't holding us accountable under what your mama said. Amen, ain't holding you accountable for what, amen, others have said and papa said. Amen, all the things we hold in such high regard. David said, when I consider all my ways are before the Lord, it makes me want my life to be directed by God's word. I got news for you on judgment day. We are going to be judged. You know it's going to judge you. That book right there is going to judge you. Now you walk out of here tonight and say, well, it don't really matter. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And Brother Sammy Adams said, it's that. Now I would argue if that's your attitude, truly your attitude in your heart, you may need to get born again. Amen. I want to know what it says. If I'm wrong, I want to know I'm wrong. Amen. If I can't prove I'm right out of the Word of God, I want to junk it. Amen. That's right. Amen. I want my life to be directed. David talked about his direction. Notice David's devotion to the Word of God. Are everybody good? Are y'all enjoying this? Amen. I'm just on first point. Second point's real short. It could be real big though. But let me just give you this. David's devotion to the word. We think about this author, this psalm. Notice what he declares about his devotion to the word of God. Verse 38. Verse number 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. David said, I'm devoted. Verse number 22, back up if you will. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. A word kept implies a devotion. Notice with me verse number 51. The proud have led me greatly, have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. David's devotion is, I haven't declined. I haven't loosened up. I hadn't let go of what God gave me. Can I be honest with you? I am saddened by what I'm seeing. Amen. After near 25 years of pastoring, 28 years of being saved, I'm not as far along as some and not seen what others have seen to the degree others have seen it. But I am saddened greatly by those that are declining from things they once said they believed. Amen. I could get real personal. Amen, all the way from music to the way they dress, things they said years ago, God showed them that now they have declined from. I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It is a lack of devotion to the Word of God. And then they try to super spiritualize it. I just matured. Amen. That ain't maturity, that's manure. Amen. And write that down and quote it. That's manures, all that is. I matured. I just grew into the liberty that I have in Christ. Amen. David said, I'm not declining. I don't care how wicked men, they rise up and put me in derision. What he's saying is, their derision speaks, can I preach right here? Derision, Brother Randy, speaks of confusion. It speaks of the proud trying to come and get his mind all twisted up. Amen. He said, there's people coming around saying, David, you ain't got to live that fanatical about things. You ain't got to take it that far. It ain't all that big a deal, David. David said, while they was trying to mess with my mind and confuse me, I had already made up my mind. I wasn't giving in an inch. I wasn't backing up. I wasn't declining. Amen. I made up my mind I would have devotion to the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Notice verse 57. I may preach till midnight. Y'all may just have to leave and leave me here. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. And so there's a theme that is building. And David has spoken a vow of devotion to God about how he's going to deal with God's word in his life. Verse number, look with me in verse 61. The bands, here we are again, the bands of the wicked have robbed me. But I have not forgotten thy law. He said, wicked men may have done me wrong and took something away from me, but I still clung to the word of God. I didn't forget about it. I didn't lay it down. I didn't act like, well, I've been done so wrong, so it don't matter. Amen. Somebody said, amen, that about Joseph, and he may have lost his coat. Potiphar's wife robbed him of his coat. Amen. But I tell you, when he laid his head down that night, amen, in a prison cell, when his master got back, and he and my friend been lied on, his coat taken, his reputation been done in. Amen. When David pillowed his head in that prison house on that first night, he still retained his relationship to the Word of God. That's what he said when he said, I can't do this thing and sin against my master and against my God. Amen. God has given me a word about this, and you may take my coat and you may take my reputation, and I'm going to retain my integrity and my character being a man devoted to God's word. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching. Verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Here's something. Y'all, listen now. Here's something we're seeing in our day. People say, well, I got done wrong. And then they start to waver from the Word of God. And I tell you, there ain't nothing nobody can do wrong against you that you ought to be able to even think about justifying walking away from the commandments of God in your life. Amen. I've literally been spat on. I've had men bust my office door down, come in wanting to physically fist fight. Are y'all listening? Been lied about, misrepresented, talked about. I have, listen, they ain't much anymore far as dealing with personal conflict. Now, I don't want to test this. Y'all don't test this out, all right? But they ain't much that I hadn't been through and experienced. You know what? I made up my mind way back yonder as a young Christian and a young preacher. I'm going with that book no matter what anybody says against me. I'll walk in that book. I'll walk in God's ways. I won't deter. And by the help and the grace of God, I'll remain devoted to it. That's why I'm here tonight. Amen. Verse 83, how we doing? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. That is a personal trial in his life. Amen. He talks about his eyes failing, his soul fainting, verse 81, 82, and become like smoke. He's in a bad season of his life, but he's still going to be devoted to the word of God. Verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth. That is the proud again. But I forsook not thy precepts. Verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts. For with them thou hast quickened me. David's devotion to the word of God. Verse number 115. Depart from me, ye evildoers. Depart from me, ye evildoers. When's the last time you had to tell somebody, get away from me? Oh, I would never be that mean. Are you telling me David's being mean? Amen. Depart from me, ye evildoers. For I will keep the commandments of my God. Let me tell you something tonight. Can I be your pastor for a moment? If you're going to have this kind of devotion to God's word, there'll be people you got to separate yourself from. We live in the kumbaya, oh, my buddy, my bosom pal. And I'm telling you, if they're in sin and they're doing wrong, there ought to be lines drawn that said, I'm going with that book and what it says. And if you ain't interested in that, too bad. Amen. You said, preacher, you ever had to do that with tears in my eyes and a busted heart? Amen. Amen. David's devotion. You say, well, preacher, you talked about his devotion, but you began with his departure. That's right. You say, how in the world can a man who is describing such devotion, the word of God, and yet he's gone astray? He ends a psalm talking about, I'm like a lost sheep gone astray. Amen. Let me ask you about your life. How many days are you devoted to it, and you turn around and you go, oh man, I have messed up. I got news for you. You don't always live that book every day of your life either. Amen. There are days it is our devotion, and in our heart it is always our devotion. It's something we vowed to God and we want to live up to Him. We want to be devoted to Him. And yet there are times we veer off the page and we veer, amen, out of the book, and we get in another book, or we get in something else, amen. And they're getting swallowed up in everything. Everything from the Tatums to the Jordan B. Petersons to the Joe Rogans to the Dr. Phils, and they're running after all these other philosophies and ways of thinking. And if you're not careful, you as a child of God, I'm not saying you can't learn something from some of them people, amen, but I'm telling you, listen, if you began to be veering off course into other paths in other places, I'm telling you, you can wind up messed up just like that. Amen. It's the battle of the spirit man and the flesh man. Amen. Well, I thought I'd get more shouts from people who had problems with the flesh right there. I guess y'all don't have no problems with the flesh. Guess you got it all beat down, crucified every day, nailed to the cross, and always walking in the Holy Ghost. Will you pray for the rest of us? Because this is a man after God's own heart. This is a man who is honest enough, amen, because he did have a relationship in the Word of God. Amen. Oh, that's right. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, amen, David had a relationship in the Word of God. And that relationship to God's Word, that Word had told him, amen, what he was and what sin was. And if he'd be honest about it, and he is, he can say, there's been days I departed. But watch this. Oh, y'all better get a hold of this. David talked less about departures than he did devotion. Here's my point tonight. There ought to be far more days you're devoted to God's word than you are going astray. And here's the problem in our day, Brother Mike, you know I'm telling it right. We got a whole generation sitting in churches. They spend more time astray than they do devoted. And there's a problem with that. And you learn that out of Psalm 119. Amen. Well, y'all want point two? I'm not going to do point three, but can I give you point two in just a few minutes? Here's what I notice about Psalm. We see the author, but notice, here's the word I'm going to use. I think it'll make sense. I want to talk about the arithmetic in Psalm 119. The arithmetic, and I've done run y'all through the Psalm. We didn't read every verse. We read a bunch of verses. Y'all agree with that? Did we read enough? Y'all want more? I can read more. Amen. I almost read the whole thing. I'm going to do that next Wednesday night. Come back. We'll read it beginning to end. And it's going to be cool, all right? But the arithmetic, here's what you find, 176 verses. They're broke down in 22 segments, sections of what? 8 verses. That's that. Listen, the Holy Ghost has just cut David loose. But Brother A.L., I believe the Holy Ghost is behind how this thing is being laid out. Every section has 8 lines, and each of those 8 lines, you have double eights, you have eights, and then you have double eights, because every sentence is broke down into 2 parts. And so you have 8 and 16. You have 8 and then a double 8. There's 8 all the way through Psalm 119. Amen. So what is so significant about the arithmetic of Psalm 119? What is it about 8? Well, consider 7. The number 7 deals with being full, satisfied, complete, or 7 means enough. Amen. And so can we say God on the 7th day, it was done, it was completed, His work was enough, and God rested on the 7th day. Amen. God saw His work, that it was very good. There's nothing more that God could add than what God had done. 7, the number of enough. The number 8, however, amen, is, watch it now. I know I'm not real big on numerology, but it works here. 8 is one more than 7. If 7 is enough, if you go to 8, watch it. The number 8 means superabundant, superabounding. Watch it now, or literally, Brother Mark, literally more than enough. 7 is enough, but 8 means it's more than enough. You say, what do you mean, preacher, in the arithmetic of Psalm 119? What we find is the faithful sufficiency of Scripture. And I tell you tonight, the Bible's more than enough. It's more than enough to get you through the night time. It's more than enough when the proud and the evil men raise up against you. It's more than enough when your heart's busted open and tears are running down your face. Amen. It's more than enough when you're just needing direction for your life. It's more than enough. Hey, it's more than enough. Amen. If you got something you got to do for God, amen, you'll find the Word of God is more than enough. Why in the world do we run to everybody else? Why do we go to other places, other things, other books, other philosophies? I'm telling you tonight, the Word of God is more than enough. It is faithfully sufficient for everything about your Christianity. Amen. Amen, that's right. Amen. Don't veer out the book. Amen, the faithful sufficiency of Scripture. And then I thought about this, and Brother Mike, amen, he stole my thunder, but I won't be mad about it long, all right? Amen, but the number 8 is the number of new beginnings. Amen, if 7 is a completed work, you'll find this all through Scripture about the 8th day. The 8th day speaks of, amen, a new week. Amen. In fact, we understand, amen, that Resurrection Sunday is actually an 8th day. Amen. Seven plus one being the next start of the new week. It is a new beginning. Amen. I know we keep time in 7 days, but the first day is actually in 8 days, showing a new beginning. Does that make sense? Amen. I could show it to you through the scripture. I wrote it down this way. In the arithmetic, we not only see the faithful sufficiency of scripture, but we see the fresh start in scripture. David said again, I've gone astray. David ended this psalm saying, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. David, my friend, in this psalm, you know what the Holy Ghost is showing us? Hey, man, if you go astray, you can have a new beginning. Hey, man, you can start over again. Hey, man, you can get back, my friend, on the starting line. Hey, man, God can turn it around. Hey, man, if you're lost in sin, you need a new beginning. And, hey, man, it's through the Word you'll be quickened to new life. Hey, man, if you've gotten down and depressed and discouraged and you're weeping and you're trapped and you don't know what to do and you need a new beginning, you can find it in the Word of God. Hey, man, it's going to be in the holy pages of what God is saying. That's where you new beginning. That's where our life is lived out as God's children. Amen. Hallelujah. If I had much more help tonight, I'd probably run out of this building shouting like a wild man. Ain't you thankful for Psalm 119? Amen. Well, I'm done. Hey, that's only an hour. I started at 7:15. It's 8:16. I'm amazed. Amen. Some of y'all say, yeah, I'm amazed too, for different reasons. Let me whet your appetite just a minute. Can I do it? We see the author. We see the arithmetic. Here's something unique about Psalm 119, that in each of those 22 headings at the top of each of them is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You see the alphabet in Psalm 119. I don't know if y'all can stand this. Y'all are about jumping out your skin already. I don't think you could handle me giving you this. You'd probably explode. When it comes to that Hebrew alphabet, I'll give you some things. I'll give you some more things next week. But it's a very symbolic way of writing letters. Every letter, in fact, let me just put it this way. They've actually excavated all the way back in Egypt, and they have found, dating all the way back the period of time when Israel was in captivity, Egyptian bondage, they have found hieroglyphics wrote down that is not Egyptian. It's not Egyptian way of writing hieroglyphics. They said it was almost like a language. It's believed the Hebrew alphabet is the oldest alphabet in the world. Back in Egypt, they hadn't fine-tuned it to where we are, where we know it to be, and it's even progressed even from the days of Christ. But in those early days of their alphabet, it was written out in symbols. And so every letter represents something. It's amazing. For instance, I won't preach it, I'll just throw it out. Sister Lori, thumbs up. Amen. Lori said it's all good. Look how this psalm begins right above verse number 1. Y'all see Aleph. You know what Aleph represents? Y'all ready for this? Now, we're talking about the Word of God now. Aleph means an ox. Aleph means an ox. So, in the alphabet of Psalm 119, the Word of God is like an ox. You know what an ox is? I guess y'all are too bored to hear this. An ox is a pulling animal. You know what the Word of God will do? It'll pull you through. When things get tough and hard, the Word of God will pull you through. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The Word of God, Beth. Y'all see that above verse 9 means house. Amen. The Word of God is something you can live your life in. Gamaliel. I don't know if I'm saying these right, but I think that's right. Gamaliel, above verse number 17. You know what? You know what it represents? You know what the emblem that it represents? It represents or has a meaning of a camel. Amen. You know what a camel, you know what a camel is, don't you? Amen. It's something that can walk through the wilderness and get you through. Amen. The Word of God will get you through the wilderness. It'll get you through the dry times. Amen. Abraham sent Eliezer with some camels. Amen. To go find a bride for his son Isaac. She rode that journey back on camels. Praise God. That's good. Amen. Daleth means a door. In fact, they several of these that deal, we've seen Beth deals with the house. Daleth deals with the door. It's an access to the blessings of God. That's what the Word of God is. He or hey, above verse 33, means a window. You know what a window does? A window lets the light in. We're in a dark world tonight. You know how you get light in your life? The window of God's Word. Amen. Amen. There's a few of y'all enjoying this. Let me give you, I'll give you one more. Look at that one above verse 41. Va. You know what va means? It means a nail. You know what a nail does? A nail fastens some things. Amen. I thought about it this way. You know what the Word of God will do? It'll nail some things down in your life. Amen. You know what a nail is? You can put a nail on the wall. You can hang something on it. You can hang your faith on what that book says. Amen. We go on. There's so many more. I want to get to those on next week. I got a 22-point sermon for next Wednesday night. Don't miss it. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for the day, for your blessings on us.